Fox Sports Knoxville. Talk sports. Hey, it's John Reed and Cody McClure. Fox Sports Knoxville, we getting money for sure. Cause we're addicted to sports. Louis V on my shorts. Been a Tennessee Vol since I hopped off the porch. Hey, Reggie White and Allen Houston, Florida, Georgia. Keep it moving, this is Rocky Top. You ain't wearing orange, what you doing? We talking UT sports in the booth. Chris Lofton with the shot, yeah, we ready to shoot. Hey. We talking sports.
Hour three kicking off. If you're missing the first 2 hours, go check out the podcast, FoxSportsKnoxville.com. Protected by 245 Tech. 245 Tech uses their SWAT as their secure web attack team. To help fend off predators, people trying to steal your identity, your business, your livelihood. It's gross. You need it. 245 Tech SWAT. 245tech.com. Hour three headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course. Right now.
Thanks, John. Did you see, sticking with the Zane Gonzalez topic from an hour ago with the Browns, did you see what LeBron James said about Zane Gonzalez?
I have not.
Well, yesterday, of course, as Zane Gonzalez missed his fourth field goal, LeBron was critical of him. LeBron, there was a post of a video from LeBron on his Snapchat where he said, "Are you kidding me, man?" That Yahoo Sports posted. I guess it was Instagram, actually. "He better not say my bad," LeBron said. "No, he better not. He might get his ass whooped." LeBron not happy with Zane Gonzalez.
Do you think LeBron felt that? I feel like LeBron's talking about Zane Gonzalez and J.R. Smith.
And J.R. Smith.
Like, I feel like J.R. Smith running out the clock in the NBA Finals Game 1. I would imagine that's how...
Similar situation.
Yeah. I'd imagine that's a similar feeling to what's going on with Zane Gonzalez.
Yeah, it's probably pretty similar. Is a missed field goal the equivalent of an interception from a quarterback?
No.
Is a quarterback throwing four picks?
No. Okay, a quarterback throwing four picks is probably up there with missing four kicks, but just one versus one, no.
Well,
similar. It's probably similar.
In the moment, like game-winning situation, the field goal's bigger, probably. But I was just thinking, like, if a quarterback throws four picks, you know, he's not getting – I mean, most of the time he's probably not going to lose his job, but –
quarterback's just such a different position.
Yeah, no, I know.
Because you have to go out and do other things. Like, the kicker only has to kick.
Yeah. I just feel bad for the guy. Apparently, Dan Bailey turned Cleveland down, by the way. They were going to see if Dan Bailey wanted to come kick for him. He's like, no thanks. According to NFL Network's Mike Garofalo, the team will work out Blair Walsh and Cairo Santos today.
Yeah, they're saying Dan Bailey wants too much money.
Yeah, Dan Bailey. Do you know that Dan Bailey is the second most accurate kicker in league history?
Carson Wentz officially cleared. Back. He's ready to go. Carson Wentz has been cleared. The Nick Foles era over.
They need him.
In Philadelphia. Yeah, who's number one? Who's number one kicker? Yeah, he was the most accurate kicker of all time. He's number two. Who's number one?
He's a second. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Dan Bailey, I think, was number one for a while, and then he missed a couple towards the end of his tenure.
I don't know. I asked that. I don't think they specified.
Apparently, Dan Bailey wants more money. Dan Bailey's like, yeah, I'm good. I don't need to come back and kick. Like, I'm not itching for it. When I come back, you have to pay me my money. Give me my money. Justin Tucker's number one all time. Justin Tucker's the GOAT, man. I love Justin Tucker. He is the best kicker of all time. Like, that guy never misses. Is it 90%? 90%? I would have thought it would have been higher. He must have missed some. He must have missed some, like, 65 yarders or something. Dan Bailey's a hot commodity, man. If I'm Dan Bailey, I'm not going to Cleveland because I'm not going to be a loser. But when Minnesota comes calling, yeah. Yeah, I'll go win a Super Bowl in Minnesota. Yeah, we could do that. Yeah, I'll take some money to come to Minnesota. Sure.
Minnesota. How much money do you think Dan Bailey wants?
I mean, that's why the Cowboys cut him. I feel like he's making like $4 million with the Cowboys. So I say he wants probably something similar. He's like, hey, I don't get out of bed for anything less than $4 million.
$4 million? Pretty nice money for to be a kicker.
$3.2 million is what he was getting last year. You got any more headlines?
Yeah, I had a little computer problem. So I'm trying to work through that here. John Gruden and GM Reggie McKenzie in Oakland likely headed for a split, apparently. This is from NFL.com.
Or, is McKenzie about to lose his job because Gruden wanted to trade Khalil Mack?
I don't know.
Like, is that what's happening here?
It seems to be having an effect, yeah. The Raiders' recent drafts have produced few players, and Gruden's staff has already cut a host of former top picks. The franchise currently under intense scrutiny for the way the Khalil Mack holdout and trade was handled. And, yeah, Reggie McKenzie might have to fall on the sword for this.
Well, I mean, like it seemed like Reggie McKenzie immediately became expendable whenever Gruden got hired and they gave him control of his roster, right? Like, you don't need a GM if your head coach wants duties. But so far, shout out to Oakland. They've been every bit as much of a disaster as we thought they were going to be when they hired John Gruden.
Do we feel like we dodged a bullet there with everybody who wanted him here?
I mean, I don't know. I still think it would have been cool.
Yeah, too early to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Pruitt's 3-0. Ask me again after Florida.
I mean, Gruden would have lost to West Virginia, too, so it'd be about the same as where we're at now, I'm sure.
I would say that dealing with his kookiness would be a lot more frustrating because Pruitt's just been pretty much been no-nonsense from the get-go.
Yeah, at least Pruitt's been quiet. Like, even if he starts losing a lot this year, hopefully we don't have to worry about him saying something dumb.
I thought the Raiders' game plan from week two was a lot better than week one, though. Like, I feel like Gruden put together a pretty damn good game plan for Denver yesterday. Derek Carr was 29 of 32, and one of those was a fourth down drop that the fullback just dropped. He's 29 for 32, 288 yards and a touchdown. He looked pretty good and pretty accurate. Got Amari Cooper the ball. We laughed about, you know, his Monday night performance. He had one catch for 9 yards. He comes back with 10 for 116. So it does seem like they improved from week two.
Yeah.
Or I guess into week two from week one. This year is going to be a throwaway year. But that's the luxury Denver has, though, is when you have a coach with a 10-year contract, right? Like, everyone else in the NFL is pretty much going from year to year. There aren't very many coaches who could survive a miserable season. I'd say Bill Belichick's one. Is there a number two? Like Andy Reid in Kansas City probably couldn't because he never wins playoff games. I guess Peterson could at this point because he's got a Super Bowl. Sean Payton survived a couple. There's like four or five coaches at max that could survive abysmal years. Interested to see Monday Night Football tonight. Bears versus Seahawks. Because if the Seahawks lose, and the Bears are, you know, 4.5, 5-point favorites right now. If the Seahawks lose to the Bears and they're looking at 0-2, Seahawks could be buckling up for a miserable season. And we'll see just how secure Pete Carroll's job is.
The new AP poll came out yesterday.
Who's number one?
Alabama.
Who's number two?
Georgia.
Who's number three?
Clemson.
Who's number four?
Ohio State.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Bama had they got all the votes.
As they should. Yeah. You know, who the hell's going to be voting for Clemson right now when Alabama's going on the road and beating people by 55? Texas A&M's ranked in the top 25, and Alabama's 27-point favorites over them.
Yeah. A&M's 22nd right now.
Yeah. Like, hey, these are two of their top 22 teams in the country. Spread's 27. Good luck.
You know how we talked about how Oklahoma may be the only outside team with a chance?
Yeah.
When you look at 6 through 10 right now in college football,
trash.
LSU, apparently the sixth best team in college football right now, which they had a nice win over Auburn, but they're number six in the AP poll.
Well, I mean, who else would it be? I mean, like Wisconsin.
Stanford.
Wisconsin choked. Stanford's going to get beat this weekend by Oregon. It's coming.
Notre Dame, who just struggled past Vandy and Ball State. The team that just struggled to beat Ball State and Vandy is ranked eighth in the country.
Yeah. Because they beat an overrated Michigan team.
Auburn, who just lost to Ed Orgeron and got lucky against Washington, they're the next best team in the country at number 9.
It might be time to quit laughing at Ed Orgeron. Like, don't get me wrong, there's still a really good chance that they messed this up down the road, but man, that team looked tough on Saturday. Came out, you know how demoralizing it would be to blow a 10-point lead and be down at halftime, and then all of a sudden it's 21-10?
And to come back and win that game.
And to come back, and you know, Joe Burrow, who was playing awful, led two drives in the fourth quarter to win. Like, a part of that has to be coaching, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm not laughing at Coach O anymore. I agree.
Might be time to put those jokes up. Now, we can still laugh at the way he talks, but it seems like the offense is doing, you know, pretty okay after losing Matt Canada.
Yeah, I'm not laughing at Coach O anymore. Although I do think, to the point of Auburn being ranked 9th, like, they just lost to Coach O.
Yeah, and they didn't look good week 1 against Washington.
Not making fun of Coach O, but when his team's 6th in the country, I think that tells you how the rest of the country looks.
I don't want to make sweeping statements based on overreaction, but I'm going to do it anyways. This feels like the largest gap between top 5 to everyone else that I can remember ever. Now, maybe there's other years that you can look back and say, no, this was actually worse. But right now, it feels like this is the worst gap between the haves and the have-nots.
Feels like they're – and Oklahoma's even probably a little further back.
Yeah,
like
putting Oklahoma in that tier feels disrespectful to the other 4.
It does feel like there are 4 teams that have soaked up all the talent in the country and are just kind of doing what they do with it.
Right, and they all have competent coaches.
And they have the 4 best coaches. You've got the 4 most talented teams, no coincidence, probably also the 4 best coaches in college football right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'll say Kirby's the 4th best coach in the country, but I mean, maybe he's just going to beat that into me. Maybe he's going to beat that into me accepting that.
I might end up accepting him as the 3rd best.
I guess I had a dabble. You just don't like Clemson for some reason.
You think?
It seems like you're always hating on Dabo. You're hating on.
I really don't like
Clemson.
Dabo.
That's what I'm saying.
There's something about him I don't like.
Is it because he beat Nick Saban in a national title game?
Big no, no.
Are you still mad about that national championship game?
No, I just don't like him. His personality's like.
Are you going to be upset when they call him to replace him?
He's one of these holier than thou.
What are you
going
to do when Alabama calls Dabo to replace him?
It's not that.
You going to be able to root for Dabo then?
He reminds me of Hugh Freeze. He's just kind of one of these guys that like. I don't know. I feel like Dabo's the kind of guy that would just preach at you. You know what I mean?
He once baptized a player in a cattle trough.
Yeah.
In the middle of practice field.
Did he really?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was DeAndre Hopkins.
Is he ordained? Can he do that?
He did it. So I don't like they.
Seems a little sacrilege, if you ask me.
He stopped the practice, or like, you know, it was after practice. Like, I don't know if he was the one doing the dunking or whatever, or if they had, like, an actual, you know, the chaplain.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to say Dabo's a phony. We don't know that.
I mean, I don't know that.
We knew Hugh Freeze was a phony.
Yeah, Dabo had a couple cringeworthy, like, comments one time that seemed, like, racially insensitive, but he, like, walked those back and apologized. Otherwise, like...
So we're saying he's a racist, for sure.
I didn't say that.
But you like him.
I do like Dabo.
I'm supportive racist Dabo. I don't know. I just don't like him. He just seems like the kind of guy that would just
beat your hero Nick Saban in the national championship game. I know. I get it.
No,
it
has nothing to do with my hero Nick Saban.
I understand.
I don't like Alabama. I've just grown to respect what they do at this point. You just can't hate them anymore.
You're like the guy in an arranged marriage who. Didn't really like his wife at first, and then you grew to love her. And then, you know, the friendship came first, and then all of a sudden soulmates.
That's not at all my relationship to the Alabama Crimson Tide.
You got any more headlines?
And quite frankly, I wish you would stop telling our audience that I'm an Alabama Crimson Tide fan. I don't know if you know this. I have a Power T tattooed on my body. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
You got a big Crimson A on your heart.
That's not true. UT President Joe DiPietro.
I think it's DiPietro.
DiPietro. Joe DiPietro. Joe DiPietro.
I think that's how you pronounce it. We're not words guys here.
He's
officially stepping down in February of 2019.
Yeah, he's
Jesus Christ.
He's
gone. Can you not read? Today, Junior.
Shut up.
We already knew DiPietro was going to be stepping down. I guess the news here is that it was the date's officially announced. I feel like this is nothing real new. This is nothing actually new.
Valentine's Day. He's gonna retire on Valentine's Day.
Really?
Maybe he's got a big date planned with his wife that night, and he thought, you know, this would be a good time to end my tenure. If he's married, I don't know if he's married.
He could still have a date.
Probably is. Most guys in a position of power like him are married.
It's true. You don't want to give the image that you're a bachelor.
Said he's very proud of all we have accomplished together, which would not have been possible without the important efforts of our talented faculty, students, staff, and administrators, and the steadfast support of the Board of Trustees.
Catch a break. Come back on the other side. We still got winners and losers to do. I think we'll do that at the 12:30 time slot. Next segment, we'll stumble around some other conversations. Or actually, let's do winners and losers next. Can you get your list ready? Next.
Yeah.
We'll do winners and losers next. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on the program. We'll get you some Jeremy Pruitt press conference quotes next segment. Didn't really say anything interesting. Well, this doesn't say anything embarrassing. Now, but for now, let's play winners and losers of the weekend. Ben, hit the music.
Winners.
All I do is win
and
win,
losers.
Win.
Winners and losers.
Oh, I'm
winners
a loser, baby.
And losers.
So please kill
winners,
me.
Losers.
By the way, before not to bring things down. Never mind.
Go ahead.
No.
What is it?
Never mind. I'll do some research.
I can't
on
continue
it.
The show until you say it.
Okay, fair enough. Did you see the college football writer last night? Did we ever get an update on him? Did you see this story? This is a really depressing story.
Did he die or something?
Well, he had posted. It's going to be dark. I'm sitting here telling you, like, this is, I don't really want to talk about this. I didn't mean to bring it up, but.
I'm curious.
Well, I know.
I would
have preferred to just talk about it off the air, but there was a guy who was a college football writer that had posted, like, basically a goodbye message on his Twitter.
Oh.
Like a video of him saying, like, love you guys, I'm leaving. And then in the comments, talking about how he drank some bleach and took some pills. Like, do we ever get an update on him? Name was Josh Webb Thompson. Fight on Twist is his Twitter. See if you can find up any updates. See if he's tweeted lately. Just give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. Like I told you, it's a dark story. I didn't want to get into it. But I was thinking of...
No tweets lately?
Oh, no. Thumbs down from Ben Lee.
I'm going to guess...
Yeah. Okay.
Wow, that is dark. We should have just talked about that off the air. Man. It's bringing down the whole lunch crowd. Jesus. No, I hadn't seen it, though. That's sad.
It is. It's creepy. All right. Oh. Winners and losers of the weekend. Cody, winners up first.
Okay.
I tried to tell you.
The losers. Our audience. Winners for me. Number three, the Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys. Nobody thought that Dak and Zeke and the boys could come out and beat the Giants. Everybody had written off the Dallas Cowboys.
They were 3-point favorites.
Well, still, nobody, you know, the
they were favored by three.
Everybody was against them. Happy to see Dallas come out and play well and win the game.
Yeah, shout out to Dak Prescott, who had 65 yards on one pass on the first drive.
Yeah, big
and
play.
Still finished
big
the game with
play.
And still finished the game with 165 yards passing.
Big time play. Zeke looked good. Zeke ran for 78 yards. Yeah, they won the game. A lot of people didn't think they would win the game. Number two. I'm going with the Texas Longhorns, actually staying in the state here. Texas.
Okay.
Beating off USC, 37-14.
Beat them down.
I thought USC was going to win the game. And yeah. USC started hot, too. They went in, started well.
I told you
did
that
not
you
finish.
Were dumb. I was like, did you watch them last week? They couldn't score. Their freshman quarterback looked terrible. Why did you think they were going to win?
Ah.
Texas is back.
Just want to pick out a single game, huh?
Texas is back. Well,
yeah.
Felt good about the TCU game too.
I can think about a few things you've told me before that didn't really work out. So I mean, Number one, I mean, I don't single them out individually and, you know, bring them up days later. But number one, I kind of feel bad for doing this now. I was actually going to put your Titans at number one. Now I don't.
They were good winners.
Yeah. Now I don't even want them.
Shout out to you. Yeah. Big winners of the weekend. Yeah. Titans.
Congrats to the Titans on their win over the Texans.
It was a gutsy win. And I was a little worried about Mike Vrabel, but yesterday I felt good about the coaching staff. The coaching staff didn't just bang their heads up against the wall. They're like, hey, we don't have Mariota. We got to try some different things. They threw a special teams touchdown. They did some wildcat with Henry. And they let the defense try to take over. I didn't even put the Titans on my winners list. I didn't even think about it. Good job by you, because they were winners. That's a huge win. And quite frankly, it looks like they got a stud on the defensive line and Harold Landry. That guy was unblockable when he was on the field.
Honor.
He was on the field for 6 third downs for the Texans. He disrupted 4 of them.
Yeah.
They got 6 stops when he was out on the field.
Titans look creative. They look good. I didn't think they would win that game.
Now, I think a little bit has to do with the Texans and Deshaun Watson not being good. But I think the Titans' defense, pretty solid. If we can let Malcolm Butler quit getting burnt deep, Titans might be okay.
Yeah.
Now, again, got Jacksonville and Philadelphia up next. It's tough next 2 games, especially with Wentz back. And I don't know if you just saw, but Mike Wallace has broken his leg. So now the Eagles are favorites to get Josh Gordon. You're like, well, if Josh Gordon comes and he's healthy, he plays with the Eagles, that's a pretty big upgrade. That's a good receiver. But good win for the Titans, because they were staring 0-3, 0-4 in the face. So at least they got them one. My winners of the weekend. Number 3, I went with boxing. The decision, controversial. But you know what that means? People talked about it. You know what it also means? Round 3 of Canelo Triple G. You keep shaking your head. People liked that fight. It was a good fight. The actual fight was good. Canelo and Triple G went blow for blow.
Delete the sport.
Controversy sold a little bit. They'll get to watch a round 3. And Mayweather announced he's coming back to the ring. Mayweather Pacquiao in December. I don't know if anybody's going to watch, but it's Mayweather.
If I had a bunch of sports just in different folders listed on my desktop, I'd send that one to the trash bin.
Number 2 winner of the weekend, Matt Ryan. Nice bounce back game for Matt Ryan. He looked terrible last Thursday against Carolina at home, division rival. Threw for 2 touchdounds, ran for 2 more. 4 total touchdowns for Matt Ryan. How about this for a stat? Ryan's 2 rushing touchdowns he had yesterday equals first-round pick Christian McCaffrey's career output for rushing touchdowns. Matt Ryan, 2 rushing touchdowns yesterday. Christian McCaffrey, 2 rushing touchdowns in his entire career. My number one winner of the weekend, LSU. Statement win. Good win.
Yeah.
Kind of like Joe Burrow. I kind of like that LSU team. Kind of rooting for them.
Good for Coach O.
I don't hate LSU. That's like the one SEC team I don't. That's the SEC team I have the least amount of hate for, which is weird because they've broken my heart a lot. In the SEC championship.
Twice.
Yeah. Got any losers?
Yeah, I do. I have 3 some of losers. Them, hopefully. Yeah, there's a lot of losers to pick from. It's always hard to narrow down the losers. I kept Wisconsin off the list. My number 3 loser this week, I'm going with Florida State. I mean, Florida State has just completely quit. They have completely lost every bit of decency they ever had. And I got to think those people are really unhappy with Willie Taggart right now. You get blown out by Virginia Tech, you struggle past Samford, and then you go to the Carrier Dome, and Syracuse just beats you down. Syracuse. Intern Andrew's happy about it. He's wearing a Syracuse Sweet 16 shirt today. But not good. Not good for Florida State. They're in big trouble. Number 2, going with Arkansas. You lose to Colorado State, and then you get blown out by North Texas. Arkansas may not win a single game for the rest of the year. And my number 1 loser, UCLA. Getting beat 38-14 Saturday by Fresno State. They are 0-3 under Chip Kelly. You can excuse the blowout loss to Oklahoma, but they got beat by Cincinnati, and they just got worked by Fresno.
Did you see that game? Did you see the clip from the sideline during the game where he was making them do conditioning drills?
Yes.
Had them in a circle, like running around, like working. They called them conditioning drills.
They looked tired.
I mean, I guess he's like, hey, we're going to have to go fast. You have to get in better shape.
some dude named Marcus McMarion, which sounds kind of like Marcus Mariota.
It is
but it's not
Marcus Mariota.
Scored 4 touchdowns for Fresno State.
Okay, he looked like Mariota. He looked like Mariota on Saturday.
Just beat Chip Kelly's ass in L.A. Like they're so bad. Like, there's so many losers in college football right now. I couldn't even include Nebraska.
Yeah, you probably should just lump the first year coaches together because Willie sucks, Chip sucks, Scott Frost sucks. Jeff Brom at least is his second year.
Did they lose again?
They lost again to Missouri by 3.
Yeah.
And then they got Boston College this weekend, so they're probably staring 0-4 in the face.
Man.
My loser of the weekend, pretty basic, I think. I did put Wisconsin on there because Wisconsin was a team that had championship aspirations. Now their margin for error is completely gone. They have to run the table and probably do so impressively to have a chance.
Beat Ohio State.
Like I don't even know if beating Ohio State will be enough. Like if it comes down to a one loss Georgia or Alabama team whose only other loss is a Georgia or Alabama in the SEC championship, I kind of feel like they deserve the nod over Wisconsin.
Yeah, over a team that lost to BYU.
Yeah, like I feel like once that happens at home, you pretty much you're eliminated. Especially this year where it seems like you know there's haves and have nots.
Well, I was just thinking they might. I mean they'll get the nod over Ohio State.
You know? Oh yeah, but oh okay, sure. Yeah.
I mean, but
at that point, undefeated Oklahoma is probably a problem. But yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, Oklahoma could be in the mix, but who knows?
Number 2, Florida State.
Yeah.
Number 2, Florida State. Self-explanatory. They stink. At least they didn't lose to Fordham, I guess. Yeah. Maybe the biggest loser is DeAndre Francois. Like life was good for him last year, heading into that Alabama game. Heisman contender. Florida State like a national championship contender. He breaks his leg. Now nobody blocks for him. He's going to die this year. And he hates his offensive line. Number 1, nothing special here. Kickers. Just a terrible weekend for kickers.
All around.
Terrible weekend for kickers. Just miss after miss after miss after miss. Kickers.
Hooked it left, hooked it right, off the upright, too short. So many.
Terrible.
So many bad ones.
Terrible. Let's catch a break. We'll update you from Jeremy Pruitt. Also got an update on the Georgia game. They've picked a time for the funeral. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.
V. Around town and worldwide, Knoxville's interactive sports radio revolution is streaming on FoxSportsKnoxville.com and our free app. Yeah, I said free. F-R-E-E. Fox Sports Knoxville. Fan Run Radio.
Jeremy Pruitt, when asked about why he put Keller Christ into the game at the end of the first half, says, hey, I don't regret it. We had that scripted out. Garantano gets to run the 2-minute drill many times in practice. Doesn't Keller Christ get to run plays in practice? What the hell's the difference? I mean, seriously, what's the difference? Like, if you're going to say one guy gets to do it in practice, then, I mean, doesn't Chris get to take reps in practice? Just forget it. Let's move on. It's not important until Tennessee needs a 2-minute drive to tie the game on Saturday.
They didn't want to show how efficient Garantano can be in the 2-minute offense. They're like, we can afford a 3-and-out here. Go ahead, Chris.
I'm excited to see. Very curious to see how this offense responds on Saturday. Because you can run on Florida, but can Tennessee run on Florida? Prue, have any other interesting comments, Andrew? The breaking news just coming across. The receiving friends have been set at leaderboard for 1-3 on Saturday the 29th with funeral processions set to begin at 3:30 when Tennessee plays at Georgia.
Going to be rough.
I mean, did that...
Do we have to make it?
like,
do we have to have Gary Danielson?
God, not
reminding here. Us yet again.
I mean, I get that you. It's good to be in the prime slot of the the SEC. There was the one year where you didn't have any of them. You know, Tennessee had one for West Virginia, but that doesn't really count. Obviously, the Florida game's a night game. And it's a compliment of sorts, although obviously the SEC's looking and saying Georgia's our big cash cow right now. Because Alabama plays Louisiana Lafayette that week.
I can just hear Gary Danielson right now. This Tennessee team came down here 2 years ago, Brad. You remember the Hail Mary. You remember Dobbs.
Well, they're going to need more than a prayer in this game.
Yeah. Things are a bit different now. There goes DeAndre Swift. Georgia's put up 48 points in the second quarter. It's going to be so bad.
The rest of the schedule, pretty light. Florida at Mississippi State with Dan Mullen returning to Mississippi State. I think that is a better game. Now, granted, like, do you want this abysmal Florida team on SEC back-to-back, on CBS back-to-back weeks in your prime slot? Or I guess that wouldn't be the case. Wait, what am I talking about? Because Tennessee is not playing Florida on CBS. Yeah, why didn't they take that game? What's their reasoning? Like, nobody cares about Starkville? There's no big ratings down there? Like, what's the deal?
I don't know.
Because I'd be much more inclined to watch that return to see how they, you know, boo Dan Mullen. Although, like I said, Georgia, number two in the country. Quite frankly, I'd rather watch South Carolina and Kentucky as well.
I wouldn't.
No?
No. I'd rather watch us get blown out than watch South Carolina play Kentucky.
So it's sad.
Kentucky's going to win that game. They do every year.
South Carolina's only 1.5-point favorites this weekend at Vandy.
I'm interested in that game.
Yeah.
See kind of how the East stacks up.
Yeah.
I still think South Carolina's got to be the second-best team in the East. I'm sorry. I just can't. I know Kentucky and Vandy are doing their thing right now. I just can't. Can't buy into that. It's not going to play out that way.
Pruitt was asked about the night game, says, I'm just glad I get a chance to coach in games like this, whether we play at noon or midnight or 6 a.m. Okay, so that's a cliche answer. Good.
Kick it off at 6 a.m. That'd be interesting.
That's what happened to poor Hawaii this weekend.
What happened, by the way? How did that turn out? The
cover worked.
Yeah?
I told you the Army was a good pick at 6.5. Now, Hawaii did not come out sluggish. They came out 6 a.m., got the ball first, and scored a touchdown.
There you go.
And I was like, uh-oh. But then they couldn't tackle.
Yeah.
Army was good, and then I think Hawaii ran out of gas a little bit in the second half. But I believe they only lost by 7. I believe they got a touchdown at the end of the game to lose by 7. So
the Army's known for its ground attack.
Yes, that they are. Pruitt was asked about DeAndre Johnson. That's the guy he yelled at and undressed on the sideline after he was forced to call a timeout. When too many men were on the field, he only said, he has a bright future. I just wanted him to look at me. That's when he grabbed him and said, look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. I'm the captain now.
Says he has a bright future at Tennessee. Like, Johnson did end up making a play later in that game. Made a big stop. Or I guess as big as you can be in a UTEP game. But made a big play. But at the time, I was like, man, that guy's going to be transferring soon. You yell at me like that, I'm out of there.
That's the initial reaction.
That was my response.
Yeah, I'm done.
See you later.
I'm out.
See you, bud. He made a big play that game. All right, last call on the other side. We'll wrap up day one of Florida Week. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Last call here on the program. Programming note coming up next. It's optional. Trey Wallace, Brandon Johns, and the debut/return of Chance Collins to a full-time seat here at Fox Sports Knoxville. Happy to have Chance back. Happy to have Chance on the air every day.
I love Chance.
He will be co-hosting with Trey Wallace.
I love him.
Will be good for the show, great for the station. Happy to have Chance back. That's coming up next from 1 to 3. All right, pump the brakes and keep rolling. You're going to go first or second?
First.
Dwayne Wade makes announcement. Owner of Chinese restaurant found with something in her cooler. Roadkill. Roadkill.
You had me at owner of Chinese restaurant.
Owner of Chinese restaurant in Louisiana found with roadkill in her cooler.
That's great.
I said her. Might make sure it's a woman.
Well, what are we serving up? Was it possum? Armadillo? Raccoon?
Keep going. You haven't gotten it yet.
Baby deer?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I never would have guessed deer, but I guess it makes sense people eat deer. But yeah, deer. And the picture is of a baby fawn. Spots and everything.
More spots than usual.
Now facing jail time.
After being scraped off the highway with a snow shovel.
The deputy discovered an open door and proceeded inside to clear the building when he found a dead spotted fawn in the cooler. State wildlife agents were dispatched and found that the owner of the restaurant later at his home where he was butchering the fawn. They found it, and then he was taken to his house, and he was cutting it up at his house, and they caught him.
My guess is that will impact their health score negatively.
I would imagine so. Well, he found the animal dead on the estate on the side of the highway, took the roadkill to his restaurant where he stored it in his cooler. He took it to his house after learning the deputy may have seen the animal. Well, yeah, it's a little too late at that point. Possession of a spotted fawn is punishable by fines of up to $750 and between 15 and 30 days for jail. I need to know, is he going to serve it in his restaurant? Like, I mean, I assume that's the point.
I think that was the plan, yeah.
I mean, I guess he could always say, no, I was just going to eat it at home.
Yeah, you know, you chop it up and toss it around in some soy sauce and teriyaki and maybe throw a few sesame seeds on there.
That,
hey,
that Chinese place you took me to a couple times, I feel like they probably sell some deer. I wouldn't be surprised if
I don't know
if they have some deer right there on top of the rice. The picture they use of this baby fawn, so cute.
You know,
he looks so happy. He's poor guy. Poor girl, I guess. It's a fawn, not a buck.
And rest in peace. Rest in peace.
Okay, you know how this game works. It's your turn now.
Yeah, driving lesson ends with a car in a swimming pool.
Gas, brake, dip, dip. Gas, brake, dip, dip.
Kentucky woman defecates on deputy. Deli worker eats a lot of stolen meat.
Yep.
About 70 miles south of Cleveland, a deli employee at the Lawrence Township Giant Eagle grocery store has allegedly been stealing slices of cold cuts during every shift for the last 8 years. The meat thief was uncovered after the Giant Eagle's loss prevention manager received a tip about the deli worker's addiction, claiming she snuck 3 to 5 slices of ham a day. The Sheriff's Department Facebook page noted the employee was last charged last Friday with stealing food worth an estimated $9,200. That's what you get. A few slices of ham every day over 8 years comes out to over $9,000 eventually. Also, can't go without mentioning a few smaller samples of salami that she added up. And then police were forced to get involved. That's a lot of pig meat. A lot of ham. $9,000 worth of ham. A few slices a day. I mean, she's just going home to make herself a sandwich basically once a day, every day for 8 years.
For free.
Yeah.
For free.
That's a lot of ham.
Rain ruins one of Norway's richest men. I wanna know. Oh, okay. Betting the wrong way on the energy market has brought an extremely wealthy Norwegian power trader close to bankruptcy. He built his fortune on dizzying forecasts, but rain washed it all away. Einar Ice, how the hell do I say that name? One of Norway's richest men is now teetering on the verge of bankruptcy after betting the wrong way on the energy market. Let's see. His misfortunes. Attend the anniversary. Taking aggressive positions. ICE. I have no clue how to say his name. Bet that the spread between energy prices on the Nordic and Germany electricity markets would narrow. But after an unusually dry summer, heavy rains earlier this week filled the reservoirs of hydroelectric dams that provided much of northern Europe's electricity, sending prices tumbling. Well, that's what you get, jerk. That's what you get. You're betting against rain, against the prosperity of your people. That's what you get. And I'm happy you're broke. I mean, like, it's a tough game shorting markets like that. Like all the people who got rich by basically betting against the housing market and that everyone's going to like lose their jobs and the economy's going to crash and that everything's going to go tumbling down. A lot of people made a lot of money by doing it. Kind of sucks, right? Like to be that guy.
Yeah.
Like you're betting on the don't pass and craps.
Yeah.
You're rooting for sevens.
I don't know how that game works, but yeah.
Just trust me.
All right.
The only jerks do it.
I thought you did a good job coming out of that story. That was a tough story.
Well, it's always weird because I don't want to pull the story up and read it before you either pass or stop.
Right.
So then it's always kind of stumbling through, and some of these people just really repeat what I've already said. But I feel like we found our way.
Yeah.
Is that what you were giggling about? You enjoyed watching me
wade
water and almost drown?
I knew you were struggling in that story.
You enjoyed me trying to keep my head above water?
I've had those stories before. Sometimes you struggle. Usually I can't handle it. I'm just like, I'm done. This is a bad story. Move on.
You just got to skim.
Yeah.
Got to keep
skimming. Do what you got to do.
Hopefully something comes out on the other side.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Squirrels are causing problems for farmers in
That's the coolest story I've ever heard in my entire life. That's insane. Can I hear it again? Do you have time?
Apparently they're chomping through all the apple orchards, pumpkin patches, and cornfields.
Yeah, man. Those squirrels are bad.
The varmints.
Squirrels, deer, all of them. That's why people hunt them.
Yeah.
Go to try to control your property.
Apparently there's an inordinate amount of squirrels now in Maine. And the people there have never seen anything like it. They're just eating up all the pumpkins and the apples. Raising hell this year. It's the worst I've ever said. Worst I've ever seen, one guy said. These damn squirrels are everywhere.
Damn squirrels. That'll do it for us today. Ben Lee, you were good today. No errors. No cut your mics off. Solid performance. Intern Andrew, you messed the internet up again. The stream's down. I don't know how you keep messing us up. You get a C-. Cody, solid Monday episode for you. John Reed, phenomenal as always. That'll do it for us. It's Optional Up. It's up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.